Well, hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Danny Yarbrough, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right, it's time to fill up here. Are you ready to go on a Friday?
I'm so ready. Let's do this. I have my Pellegrino.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go.
Good. Hey, I've got my water with some kind of fruit punch flavoring.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a little something.
Okay, no. Way too early to be doing any something. No, I was going to say
it's 4 o'clock somewhere, man.
That's true. I think Jimmy Buffett holds off till 5. But I assume you're doing the daylight savings time thing and kicking yourself an hour early in.
Right.
Is that what's going on here?
That's what's going on. You got it.
You know, thinking about Jimmy Buffett, and again, if you don't know of this man, you must be very, very young, I guess. But so Jimmy Buffett, Mr. Margaritaville, right? You know, Cheeseburgers in Paradise and a few other hit songs. And really, he's one of these artists who did all of that back in like the 80s and 90s and all that, and hasn't really recorded a lot of new music since. Because in his case, he is the type that can rest on his laurels and tour still when they're doing musical tours. And he's got his fans. You know what they call his fans?
Buffets?
Parrotheads.
Okay.
Because, you know, he's got that island vibe, feel, yeah, okay. You know. He's not reggae per se, but he's got that slow, you know, kind of beat behind a lot of his music now that he does. But thinking of the Margaritaville, here's where the story goes. So we held our CISFA conference at a hotel out in Palm Springs a number of years ago called the Riviera, which was kind of a mid-century mod kind of looking modern, you know, hipster kind of place. Well, apparently, and I thought it was being bought up at one point by either Hilton or Marriott or one of the really large chains. Apparently, it was bought up by the Jimmy Buffett organization that does the Margaritaville restaurants.
Okay.
And now they have a hotel.
Whoa. Okay. So we're expanding.
Yeah. So now there's the Margaritaville Hotel Resort in Palm Springs. It's on the far west side of town, guys.
Okay.
And again, it looked really nice. You know, I mean, they've updated the theme. It's got a lot of pools and stuff, so you can definitely have some fun out there.
I was going to say, do you have any plans to visit?
No, not yet. I mean, maybe when things open up a little bit, I'll get out of town.
Okay.
And have some fun.
Sounds like a fun, you know, well, number one, a fun road trip. I mean, it's because it's really quick.
Exactly.
And then like just a fun experience in the hotel itself.
Yeah, I mean, the hotel's, again, it's one of these resort types, so it's got a lot of pools. It's not too far from downtown Palm Springs, so you can get to a lot of things. And when we did our conference there, we had paid to have the little trolley bus haul people around for the conference to either downtown or to one of the local casinos. I forgot which one it was. But there's a couple casinos pretty nearby.
Okay.
And the other nice thing is there's a well-established steakhouse kind of place, Billy Reed's of Palm Springs, that is across the street. So you can walk right over. And it's been there apparently forever.
Okay. So, yeah. So, again, if you're looking for a nice, you know, weekend trip.
Yeah.
Sounds like something to do.
It does. Yeah. I think the prices will be reasonable, everybody. So go out and have fun at Margaritaville Hotel.
And then, of course, have a margarita.
I don't know. Actually, the sign says they don't serve those. I'm kidding.
What? Wait a minute. I was going to say now. Come on.
No. No margaritas in Margaritaville.
Oh man,
that sounds like a soon to be made Jimmy Buffett song.
Okay, no margaritas.
There's no margaritas in. Yeah, that would be horrible.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna answer. Well, he's got a great Christmas album, everybody, and it is very old Christmas album. That much I'll say, but it's still a classic. So if you're not traveling, let's talk about what's been going on recently this week and all.
Okay.
Let me see here. I got my second vaccine, everyone.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah. I'm not quite a zombie.
How do you feel?
Not quite a zombie yet, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, maybe on my way to being one. I don't think I've seen any or felt any real side effects that I can tell. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not really sure what I'm looking for. I mean, I know from listening to some friends and family, it's kind of the broad scattershot of things. You know, a couple people who had headaches for like the day after, but then it was gone. And then some people who were tired for the day after, and then it was gone. Mm. One friend who gets a little hungry, because like after his first shot, he got a little bit hungry, so he had the munchies. But you know, none of that yet. So I'm assuming that if I can get through the day today, I'm probably out of the woods as far as everyone else that I've talked to. So
that's good.
So we'll see.
So I had my first one maybe a couple of weeks ago. I want to say 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got it, I was okay, and I actually didn't even feel the needle when the nurse.
Same here. Yeah, they're doing a good job.
Uh huh. But later that night, I want to say maybe around 10, 11 p.m., all of a sudden, like my arm, it felt like it was going to fall off.
Oh.
It felt bad. It was really, really sore. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, now I don't know if this is just my paranoia, my conspiracy paranoia.
I'll tell you afterwards if it is.
But I could have sworn I felt some medicine or something going through my system.
Uh-huh.
Because I felt all of a sudden really fatigued.
Uh-huh.
And just like I couldn't move. Like I just felt really tired, really drained, really fatigued. And then my arm felt so bad. Like it hurt so bad.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, it might have been.
Uh-huh. So I that lasted until, so I got the shot on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And the fatigueness, it lasted all the way until Saturday night.
Okay.
And then the soreness, it was over maybe on Monday. That Monday.
Okay. So that sounds like the reasonable like period of time for a lot of this. So I'm hoping I get through it. But if you haven't done yours and you're not adverse to having it done, go figure it out. Remember, if you're in the education sector, like we happen to be.
It's that time.
You know, again, our president and the government and CDC and everybody else is making the push. Get it done. Get it out of the way. Mm-hmm. You know, and then everyone go back to, you know, licking doorknobs or whatever else they were doing before.
Licking doorknobs.
That's right.
Now, is that going to be our first single on our CD when we release it?
Right next to the No Margaritas in Margaritaville, a collaboration with Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett.
Right?
That's right. No licking the doorknobs.
That's right. And our parody song about the good life in New Jersey and high employment, which would be a counteraction to everything that Bruce Springsteen's ever recorded.
Oh, boy.
Oh, everything's always down and everyone's having a bad time and all that other stuff. You know, all his songs about Jersey. Never anything good going on there in Jersey. I don't know what it is.
I don't know, man. But I mean, there's a whole show about Jersey, so yeah.
Well, maybe, yeah, and that was much later in time. And boy, that show really makes you think, yeah, there's a problem going on in Jersey.
Oh, that co-signs that, yeah, there are problems going on in Jersey. Exactly. Not that they were doing, things are popping.
No. If that's okay, what's so happening for, on for, the shore, I think I want to see the opposite show, which would be like the Jersey farm fields or something.
Interesting.
I'm good.
Now, for those of you that are listening that are from Jersey, please don't come for us. We just...
No. I have friends who have lived there or were from there. Mm-hmm. And again, never having traveled there, I would never knock their whole state. Look, it's like every state. It's a mixed bag. You know, you've got the big cities. Mm-hmm. You've got coastal. You've got apparently a lot of farmland and a lot of regular communities.
Okay.
Not everyone works in New York City, you know, that kind of stuff. Not everyone's in Newark. Not everyone's on the shore doing what? Laundry, tanning, and whatever else was the other thing that the Jersey Shore castmates would do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How that show, well, again, the only way that show lasted as long as it did was it was on MTV. And if any network knows how to make a show that's meaningless and worthless and make it last forever, it's them.
It's a whole another conversation, man.
That it is. So today, other than getting caught up like we just have.
Going down the rabbit hole, I'm telling you,
exactly.
Man.
I wanted to talk about some off-topic topics here about CSFA and all. In particular, talk with you, Dana, about CSFA membership.
Okay.
So normally, most people get their membership when they sign up for conference. So we make it where you are then a member from approximately March 1st till the end of next February or so. The thing is, always a discussion is, what's the value of membership other than the fact that in order to be an association of our type, a nonprofit organization that represents kind of like a group of people, you do need to have a membership of sorts. And so our membership then votes on things. So like if we have bylaw changes, when we do our elections for the next cycle that we'll do probably in January of next year, paid members who are what we call our active members. We're gonna have to change the names on these because the names are a little confusing. We have active members, which are people who work at the colleges in financial aid. They can vote on election-related things and the bylaws. Our associate member level are people who work in related industries. For example, in the olden days, there was a lot of people who worked at banks who did student loans. You remember those good old days?
Yes, sir.
Or the guarantee agencies and all. So now it's kind of switched. We have people in more software-driven things, you know, verification and other help forms, document scanning, trying to think, financial literacy products, all those kinds of things are covered under there. So those are associate members. And because they're not working directly at a school, they can't vote on election-related things. But my question is always, you know, what kind of value do we offer to our members throughout the year? And then how we can improve that and how we might be able to get more people to become members who may not have gone to conference or will go to a particular training. Because if we do a training thing in the summer, if you're a member, you get the lower price. If the training will be your first thing, we do have to roll the membership costs into it. So I was wondering your thoughts on that, Dana, on any of this, you know, as far as what do you think might draw more people in? What would we have to offer them? Or what can we offer them, you think?
I don't know if I'm the right person to. Do we have the budget to do what I would say that you should offer them?
Well, as always with you, Dana, I know that it's going to come with a price tag. So what kind of ideas did you have?
Like, is it possible to do incentives for signing up? And when I say incentives, I don't mean just like you have access to these workshops or access to certain type of information, but like, help me out here. You know what I mean when I say perks and incentives. I don't know.
Like a box of stuff or something, are you thinking?
Yeah, like a welcome package. Okay. Welcome to CSFA, you know. I might be going off the deep end on this one.
You probably are, but go in.
What if you have like tier memberships, like gold, silver, and
Well, you know, I would say that would work.
Yes.
Now, we do that, obviously, when we do sponsorships and such.
Yeah.
You know, we had three different levels for the conference. But considering most people, especially if they're going to conference, don't pay their membership fee out of their own pocket.
Right. You know, okay. Comes from their institution. Right.
Now, again, if I was like, I do this every year because I don't always go to the CASFA conference, I end up paying the CASFA membership, which until recently was just purely individual. Now they do offer a institutional level membership. But when I would just pay it out of my own pocket for the individual, because like most community college districts, they have kind of like a thing against paying individual memberships for people. Mm-hmm. And I understand why, because I mean, I guess you could join a whole lot of things and expect the district to cover you for that when it's an individual benefit.
Right.
Although, I mean, you know, supposedly the resources and the conference and the training really makes you a better person. So that's why we have to, in a sense, say complimentary membership with your conference fee.
Okay.
You know, so that some schools are real picky about that kind of stuff. If you even say the word membership, they get all in a tizzy.
Okay.
But let's keep thinking about some of these ideas here on what we can do to add to it. But we're going to take a little musical break. Give ourselves a second to think.
Okay. And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Time for a refill. That's what I say.
Yes. All right, Dennis. So let's go in further about this. All right.
Okay.
So maybe we won't have the tiers, but what would the incentives look like besides, you know, the workshops and the information?
I don't know. That's the thing. I mean, obviously, you know, when I think about our like podcast right here today, mm-hmm. we've talked a lot about it. And the next topic on the list today is resources, but mm-hmm. we could always send them some kind of like book or something like that. Obviously, I'm big into that. I know you'd like to slip in some vinyl, confuse everybody.
Or maybe like opportunities to maybe talk to individuals who are like in the upper echelons of financial aid, like networking or connecting.
Okay. Like some special one-off webinars, maybe?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, no, I think that could be valuable, mm-hmm. Especially if we could drag in, it's, like you're saying, the upper echelons of financial aid, both mm-hmm. current and maybe former people, retirees, maybe some mm-hmm. people at the national level, like a sit down with Justin Drager.
Yes, I was just going to, I was going to say like, mm-hmm, something maybe like that.
Something with WASFA and their president. Mm-hmm. Or CASFA. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a great idea. You know, we could offer up these kind of one-off things that you'd have to be a member for.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dennis, for us, do you guys offer scholarships for foreign members?
Well, what we've done in the past, and I don't think we did it this year because of the way we changed up the scholarship cycle for fundraising. Mm-hmm. Normally what we do would be, as part of the fundraising we do at conference, you know, we would do a silent auction. We would sell raffle tickets, in a sense, for drawings where we had additional prizes bought by CISFA exec board members and such. Mm-hmm. And we would also generally do one drawing somewhere in there with those tickets. Someone would win a free next year's conference fee.
Okay, I got you.
I think other organizations like CASFA has done an actual scholarship for their conference where you write a story about something about your life or your work or whatever, mm-hmm. your interest in the financial aid profession, and they would give one or two free conference membership things. Yeah, so mm-hmm. you get a free ticket to the conference.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we could, I don't, again, because we changed up the nature of how we're going to do the incentives for donating to the scholarship program, we weren't specifically going to do, a free membership this year. We're still going to give away something. We just haven't figured out exactly what we're going to give away.
Gotcha.
So we're going to have a couple for those. And I think so people thinking about that, in case you were wondering, everybody out there, if you'd like to donate to the CSFA scholarship program, please go to our website at CSFA.org. You'll see somewhere on the homepage information about the program, because again, it's very different this year. You know, Dana, we do scholarships for students across the state, two per region. And so we normally would collect scholarships, like me, you would do it because you're the scholarship coordinator. Mm-hmm. We would review it as a campus, me and you, and our committee, which is us. And then if we had like 20 asks, we'd be able to put for two of those to CSFA. And we'd send it into the CSFA scholarship coordinator, who would collect them up from all the colleges and then break them down by region. And then she'd give all the ones from our region, which is Region 7, which covers most of L.A., and give it to, like, Region 2's regional rep on the CSFA exec board. That person would review all of the ones from another region and make their selection of two. And then those all go to the exec board for approval, and those are the ones that get the scholarships. So this year's a little different, everybody. The application is actually online. And hopefully you've gotten some information about this. Not yet, maybe?
Not yet. I don't recall.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give this to you because you are the scholarship coordinator. If you go out to the CSFA website, you'll see that there is a link now for where we can send students to get the, I think it's like a Google Doc, to fill out their form.
Oh, awesome.
And so you just probably have to drop a little bit of directions or whatever. But in a sense, all that information is going to be collected online. And then instead of us as a school right away getting all the ones for our school to review, the scholarship coordinator for CSFA will collect all of them from across the state through our one link on our CSFA website and then divvy them out to the appropriate schools.
Mm.
So, okay. Yeah, we don't have paper that we have to collect this year.
Right, which was, you know, is, yeah, how yeah, we should do it back in
yeah.
the day.
Yeah, so it's going to be both. Back
in the day, that sounds like years ago, but.
I know, a whole year and a half ago.
A whole year and a half ago.
Because, unfortunately, we had to cancel our scholarship cycle last year at this time. Right. Because it was just to the point where we couldn't guarantee all the schools would be able to play, you know, let alone get students to apply. So. Mm-hmm. We're back in business. It's just a little different. If you have questions, please contact us through the either the show's email or through the email for the webmaster on the website, and we'll help you through that. Because that cycle does go through until April for students to apply. And we want students to get on that right away.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's kind of where we're at right there on scholarships. But yeah, as far as scholarships for members themselves, because we don't want to give like just give money away per se. You know, we do want to make sure that we get tied back into them getting like a free membership or a free conference or training. Mm-hmm. We don't quite have is an extensive a lineup as say our national partners, but also CSFA doesn't have a nice building in DuPont Circle like they do. We spend a whole lot less on rent.
Okay.
Possibly gotcha. Nothing. That's what I was going to say. I'm almost certain nothing.
Oh, man. But yeah. Hey, Dennis, maybe part of the incentive will be maybe you can give out some Dodger tickets or other baseball.
You know, thinking about that, you know, that's another topic out there. Yeah, possibly. Now, this is a good thing. You know, I don't know what they're doing at all the other parks, but down here in L.A., and I assume it might be similar to other places. Like in my case, I had a quarter season. So it's normally about 20 to 21 games. Early on, because this stuff was still rolling around just a few weeks ago, the Dodgers decided for all the people with season tickets, April and May tickets, and the season starts April 1st, will be canceled out and you'll get credit for them. Because they assumed that it would be until probably the start of June, till things might be normal enough that they could guarantee a certain percentage of people could come to the park. So that happened. And then they sent out information about if you still wanted to go to one of the games in April or May, you could buy in a specific package of, I think, 14 games. And there's an A group and a B group, which means obviously there's about 28 home games in those 2 months. And if it would cost you more money, you'd have to pay for it. If you had enough credit from your canceled games, you know, it covered and you keep, you know, you wouldn't have to pay out of pocket. I decided not to do the extra 14 games.
Okay.
So I've got my regular quarter season games that start for me. It looks like Monday, June 14th, when we play the Philadelphia Phillies. And it goes towards the end of the season. I've got like 13 games that supposedly I will be able to get in on because I'm a season ticket holder. But it's a little complicated. I mean, even like home or the opening day is going to be a lottery because you'll have season ticket holder people.
Yeah.
You'll have just regular people wanting to get tickets. And again, the park will be at 20%.
Right. That's why they're doing the lottery.
Exactly. So I'm assuming that for our friends up and down the states, our Padre fans, our Athletics fans, and those Giants fans, it might be very similar that it's like a 20% capacity issue. And again, you have to consider you have people with season tickets that you want to take care of first in some way.
Okay.
So already I have friends clamoring to, you know, if you have an extra ticket,
let them know.
Can I sit with you in your seat?
That's adorable. Yeah,
I know.
Oh man. Now I have a very, very important question.
Yes.
So if you are selected to go to, you know, open day.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to buy your towel can?
I believe under the current rules, they will have limited concessions, but the concessions will be open.
Just making sure.
Yeah. Like, supposedly, like, if we're still in the purple zone for this pandemic, you'd be limited to no concessions or whatever and 100 people at the park. But because we're in the red zone and slowly working our way to the orange zone, everybody, we're at 20% capacity, and there will be concessions and everything else. So it'll all be contactless. And it will all be cashless. Doesn't mean free, everybody.
Right. I was going to say, yeah, clean that up.
Yeah. Don't bring your cash. Bring your Apple Pay, your Google Wallet, or your credit card to buy food, or you will go hungry.
Or I wonder, you know, do they offer the service where you can pay in advance?
There is something like that. They do want you to, like, order online.
Yep, and then you just pick it up. Mm-hmm.
That's how it's going to work. Yeah.
Okay. That's really good.
It sounds like it's a plan. We're going to be back into baseball soon, everybody. Until then, let's roll ourselves through a little music and into our last part of the show. And just like that, we're in the little last part of the show called The Last Sip. Get that last slip of your Pelly in, your Pellegrino.
I think I finished that off on the first sip, actually.
Wow. That's how long of a segment it was? Did we just ramble too much?
I think we do, sir.
Yeah, I think so. So we're at the last sip segment. You have any I dare you twos or other things you'd like to bring up, Dana?
Yeah, for all my Netflix homies. If you haven't already checked out the new season of David Letterman's My Next Guest Needs No Introduction, please check it out. Especially the Dave Chappelle, I don't know how to say it, like his, I guess that interview. There we go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Dave Chappelle interview. And the Lizzo interview is excellent too. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds interesting.
Right. Uh-huh. I really enjoy his show.
Yeah. I haven't seen David Letterman for a while. Does he still look like a lumberjack?
Like Grizzly Adams? Yeah.
Grizzly Adams?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah. Like when he retired, it's like, I'm not going to spend a dime on shaving again.
And I'm all about that life. You know what? Yeah. Whatever works, man.
Look, if it helps him, all the better.
Yes.
You know, if it keeps him happy.
Mm-hmm.
By now,
I feel like on the, you know, when he's interacting with his guest,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like he's in a good place, like in a happy place, like you said.
Well, yeah. I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a man of many interests. You know, he owns like a race car team.
That I didn't know. Okay. Like, well, then I'm going to get him years. Up for $20.
And I think he's won. I think their team has won something big, like an Indy 500 kind of thing or Daytona.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm going to hit him. I'm going to find out. Hit him up. Email him. Send him a letter or something.
Oh, are you buying a race car there for Pacoima? What's going on?
Nah, sir. Trying to get some funds for scholarship ceremony when we're back on campus.
I like that. Dana.
I'm forward thinking here. Trying to brainstorm here.
Good thinking. Well, we're going to have to save some of that thinking for next week here because I think we've just about ran out of time, everybody. So I want to thank my co-host Dana for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at WBCISFA@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. For those using Apple devices, open your podcast app and search for CISFA. You can also find our episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean is one word. And don't forget that we're on Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 76, recorded the morning of Friday, March 26, 2021.
Have a great day.
And everybody have a great weekend.